When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your moist little ears into. This is going to be a very fun episode, DJ.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Looking forward to it.
Here's a quick intro for the two boys behind the microphones. Me over here, this is Sam Basher, my co-host over there, partner in crime, DJ Woldridge.
That's
how you doing?
Me. I'm doing all right, man.
I'm excited. We're going to talk about Legion Season 2. It just came back.
Yep.
But if you guys don't know, this podcast we talk about movies.
Yes.
TV shows.
Yes.
Comic books.
Yes.
And the unknown.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Literally whatever that means.
Whatever that
means. We talk about it.
Because we want to talk about dreams soon, and that's not unknown.
Dreams would be great.
Someone sent me a pretty descriptive dream they had, and I'm excited to share that one day when we get to it. We'll just figure out if people want it.
Yeah.
But they can hit us up if they do want it on our Twitter account, @OnlyStupidAnswers.
You ain't got the bells from stupid, but for all of our social media places to listen to this podcast, our Patreon, patreon.com/OnlyStupidAnswers, you can go to OnlyStupidAnswers.com. You can even sign up for a newsletter there that gives you the most up-to-date stuff on new merch we've got coming out, new videos, stuff like that.
Can we announce a thing? Or
I feel like we should announce the thing.
We should announce the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll give you all the details in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah.
But for our 100th episode, which is coming up quick.
Yes.
It's coming up fast. DJ and I want to do something extra special.
Yep.
The most special thing could be. So we're going to be doing, if you're in the LA area, mark your calendars, May 8th.
Yeah. Which is a Tuesday.
Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be doing a live event. It's going to be very exciting. And it's not just, we're going to be doing a sort of live episode. I want to say sort of because we're spinning on its head.
Yeah.
Not a lot. It's just slightly different. But we are going to be having a lot of our friends.
Yeah.
Maybe friends who have other podcasts.
What?
On the show, and they're going to be doing a special, I'm going to do air quotes, performances.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. That's not what you think it means. It's going to be very exciting. So keep an eye out. We're going to have to sell tickets. The only way we can do this event. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. So if you live in the LA area or in Southern California and you want to drop by to this, again, stay tuned to our Twitter @OnlyStupidAnswers.
You ain't got the balls from stupid.
Or OnlyStupidAnswers.com.
The newsletter.
For more information about that coming up soon. But and we'll be giving, we'll be announcing what friends are going to be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm really excited about this. We've been talking about doing
something big.
Yeah, and
a lot of the things just flat out aren't doable. But we figured it out.
Yeah, but this is going to be a ton of fun, and we've been trying to do this for a while, and we figured our 100th episode. It's not only our 100th episode, but it's actually within a few weeks of our 2-year anniversary.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I'm really excited for it. And I hope as many of you guys can join us as possible, just because it's always a blast to meet you guys. And I think you're really going to like the guests we have. And I'm really excited to do a extra big sized episode with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in the LA area, there should be opportunities to maybe
see this
on our Patreon.
You will all hear it. It's still our 100th episode,
so it
will go up. But there's some stuff that you have to see
to believe,
mm-hmm.
as they say,
classic OSA fashion.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So keep an eye out for that fun announcement up top. But at the top of most of these episodes, we'd like to read some reviews from you guys. Some from iTunes, some from Patreon, because you can listen to the podcast on both of them platforms.
Yeah. So not only is there hundreds of platforms that you can listen to the podcast normally, but you can also check it out on Patreon, and you can also leave comments on our episodes on Patreon, and that's where this is from. Sam, you want to tackle this? Is for our Ready Player One episode.
Yes, that was last week. Is that
yes?
What? Jesus, it all blurs together. This is from Joseph Gilbert. It sounds to me like you guys would really like this book. As an avid book reader, I generally hate movies based on books, but in this case, the book actually made me appreciate the movie more than other people I know. Two movies I have liked more. and/or as much as the book, this and Interview with a Vampire, which was a very, very boring book. That's what I've heard from people who have read that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I know that movie is supposed to be good.
But
never
Tom Cruise is in that book.
He's in the book?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is in the book.
Tom Cruise is in the book.
I got to read the book now.
Just like John Noble is in Legends of Tomorrow.
please make sure you're listening to Super TV Showdown, because Boy, oh boy, yeah. It was a weird episode for TV shows this week. But thank you for writing that review. We love to get more reviews from you guys on iTunes. 5 stars if you don't mind. And also comment on the Patreon posts. Oh man, we're gonna announce so much cool shit at the 100th episode. Yeah. Like new projects that are about to happen.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We've got a lot coming up. So this episode, we're gonna be doing what we're into, which I believe we're probably both gonna talk about A Quiet Place.
We could talk about the other thing too. If you want, we can give a shout out to it. But yes, we're talking about A Quiet Place,
and then we're talking about season 2 of Legion, which is one of possibly our favorite superhero shows. And if you're not watching it. Ooh, you're missing out.
It might be one of the most creative TV shows ever created. Yeah. I think that's a fair thing to say. That doesn't mean we can say that everyone's going to like it. It is definitely one of the most ambitious projects Marvel has ever tried to make.
Definitely.
When it comes to film.
Easily. So before we dive into that, two things. One, please, if you get a second, go to chaostheorycomic.com. That is the webpage for my new comic book, which is coming to Kickstarter. I announced the release date on my Twitter, whatever, through the newsletter that's on there. It's Monday, April 30th.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the day our Avengers Infinity War review goes up. Just to keep track.
So
that is when it's going live. I would love it if you all showed up on day one. There's going to be special exclusive rewards for contributing on the first day. Also, if you sign up for the newsletter at chaostheorycomic.com, there's a different special exclusive reward for those people. So don't miss out on any of that. Sign up for the newsletter at chaostheorycomic.com, and I really appreciate the support I get from you guys on that. I'm really excited for this book. It's big. It's big. It's epic. It's an ambitious project. But
before we get started with today's episode, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Dollar Shave Club, because they've always helped out the show, and they're going to help out you today. Because guys, your bathroom called. It's time to give it a good cleaning, the cleaning that it deserves. Get rid of all that junk that's just lying around and freshen it up with high quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Members like me and DJ, we get everything we need for our morning routine delivered right to our door. Dollar Shave Club has razors, shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you're going to need. You get an amazing, high-quality shave every single time you use their executive razor. It's the best razor I've ever used, and I love using their Dr. Carver shave butter because it's fantastic. It goes on clears, so you can see exactly what you're shaving. And since Dollar Shave Club delivers everything to you, you didn't have to set foot in the store no more, no wandering around the aisles looking like a dum-dum. You can get everything. You get the shampoo, the body wash, toothpaste sent straight to you.
So easy. So with that, you can clean up your bathroom and your morning routine by joining Dollar Shave Club today. And for just $5 with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shea butter, body cleanser, and one wipe Charlie's. Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/stupid. That's dollarshaveclub.com/stupid. Now back to the show.
Those guys are always good to the show. Let's talk about, though, what we're into this week. And then we have to go to an awesome screening and put out a little review for it on our YouTube channel for A Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski.
Yep.
Jim Halpert Krasinski.
Yeah.
His birth name.
And the character he plays is Jim from The Office. It's just after everybody's dead.
Yeah. Because then you wouldn't have fun anymore. I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't be the fun-loving guy after everything
that happened.
He does
get a lot
world.
Of good glances in this.
He does. And he gets a lot of good tears. But yeah, you guys, if you don't know, it's basically like a post-apocalyptic world where this family is trying to survive, but the threat that is out there that's hunting them is a creature that only hunts by sound.
Yes.
So they have to be completely silent basically for their entire life. So no talking. If they do talk, it's very, very quiet.
It's like this.
Let's do the review like this. The reviews for this, I think it dropped down now to 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Such a failure now.
But it was, yeah, exactly, right? It was at 100% for a long time. This movie deserves a lot of praise, because if you're a fan of thrillers, I think a thriller is the right term for this.
Yeah. It's like a horror thriller. It's like a good creature feature type thriller. We like to throw around the term a lot, especially with stuff like Cloverfield and Black Mirror, the term like Twilight Zone. Like, it reminds us of Twilight Zone. And I feel like this really fits that bill. Like, it builds an entire world off of a kind of scary what if scenario. And it does a really good job with that. It stars, and like Sam said, it's directed and stars, and also was co-written by John Krasinski, starring his wife also, Emily Blunt, and then Millicent Simmons and Noah Jupe. And I just saw this again last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Does it hold up?
It does hold up. It is very good. The acting in it is incredible. I've got to give just special credit to Emily Blunt. She's so good in this movie. Like, kill, like the stuff she's, and it's little stuff too. Like, there's a sequence that they show in the trailers with her dealing with her being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Kills it. But there's also little moments, very fun human moments she gets with the son. And Noah Jupe really stood out to me too the second time. His reactions to thing, like, I guarantee you the kids were cast in large part to how are you just reacting to things with your eyes. Mm-hmm. And Noah Jupe murders it. And it's worth pointing out that Millicent Simmons plays a deaf girl in this, and she is deaf in mm-hmm. real life.
That is really, that's I appreciate that that choice to cast someone who is actually deaf, because there are deaf actors out there that are trying to get work. And like, I saw the movie Hush. Do you remember Hush? It's on
I've
Netflix.
Heard about Hush. I've heard really good things actually about it, but I've not seen it.
The movie got a little too overhyped for me. It's mm-hmm. a good solid thriller, but it's not like gonna blow your mind. But the actress, it can speak, like, but the point of that character is that she's both mute and deaf, so mm-hmm. it's, and there's someone trying to kill her, and it's crazy. There's like no way, how is this woman ever gonna survive this? So I thought she was actually deaf, but then there's a moment in the movie where she's talking like mm-hmm. clearly, and she does interviews where she can hear you and talk, and like, so it's like, it's a little bit of a bummer, but it is cool that they made such an inspired choice for this casting, for casting her, and all the actors kill it, and the direction of this movie is very good. The way the world's built out is very interesting, because they do very subtle things to show you that, like, it's not just this family. I'm not spoiling things. It's that,
and you're only following this family, but there are a handful of other people that probably live in this world.
And which is good that they're able to say that, because it's a whole world. You wouldn't lose everybody in it.
Just a majority of people.
So many people.
And you get it watching it too, that because these murder bugs, they're you can see why they were so efficient at taking out large chunks of people, especially if you lived in a large city where it's so noisy.
And very small sounds are still trigger them.
And it's interesting because there's the old saw in filmmaking, show don't tell, and because there's so little dialogue, this movie does an incredibly good job of giving you all the pieces, all the exposition you would normally get in one of these movies, just showing you the details and letting you put the pieces together to understand how the creatures work, what their weaknesses in the wrong term, but the things that you can use to mask your own sounds that you make or distract them, how these people live. Like, it's so excellent at doling out that information visually without having somebody like sit down and be like, hey, here's the things you need to know.
This is a good point. I did have like a question. Like, when they in the movie they find a place that,
Is it a quiet place?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's the point, is that it allows them to kind of act a little normal. Why didn't they move there?
There is a couple questions. There's also a room that they set up to deal with the pregnancy situation that's supposed to be more quiet. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why didn't you do that the whole house?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the
Also, you can't do like construction here. Can't, like, because any like.
They did like, it to the one room. Why don't you do it to the whole house?
Because they were doing it with paper. They were pasting paper.
Do it to the whole house.
If you look at the timetable of how long it took them to do that one room.
Yeah.
Imagine if they did it to the whole house. It would have taken such a long time.
And also, it's one of those, going off on the Twilight Zone thing, it's less about the minutiae and the practicality of accomplishing of what you would do in that world, and more of teleporting to like almost like a bad dream.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's the worst dream.
Yeah.
And this movie, if you guys like being stressed out in a theater, this movie will make you the most stressed out you've ever felt.
I got some flack on the internet for calling it fun, and I would call it fun. I think there's a few different types of horror movies, and there are fun ones like a roller coaster. Like mm-hmm. you're going on a ride. You know what I mean? And I feel like this is one of those. And then there's ones like The Witch that like sit with you, like you just dwell on, like every once in a while your mind drifts back to it and like, I don't know how to process that information. Mm-hmm. And I think those are important. Those movies are important, and I enjoy those type of horror movies. Again, I'm going to use the term a little bit more adult. This is a good date movie. This is a good, you want to go hang out with your friends movie. This is that type of horror movie. Mm-hmm. Like would you characterize it as fun?
Yes, you'll have a good time watching it.
Yeah.
but not in the way you'll have. It's as fun as going to. It's as fun as going to a haunted house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great way of characterizing. Mm-hmm. It's not fun in the same way like Guardians of the Galaxy is. But
No. It's an entertaining movie. Yeah. And entertaining doesn't mean you're going to be giggling the whole time. It's that you're just
engaged.
Yeah, you're engaged, and it definitely engages
also,
you.
Also, sorry.
But I just wanted to say mad props to John Krasinski because he made, like, he's directed two movies. We found that out
before this.
And he's been trying to break into, like, this realm of filmmaking because he clearly has a good vision for it. Mm-hmm. And also, since he, like, it was able to do, like, a rewrite of the script, which we don't know how much he changed. Yeah. That doesn't matter. It's that he has such a big hand in this and for how well it's being received by so many people.
Good for him.
Yeah. It's like, it's when, like, you find out your friend, like, got cast in that big role. You're like, yeah, good for you, man. Like, you're genuine. From what it looks like, you seem like a genuinely good person, and we want you to do well.
Yeah, and also, it's I would highly recommend you go and see it in theaters because people's reactions are great.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they're
yeah.
so good, especially if you've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun, like seeing the wave of reactions hit the audience, the way different people react to different stuff.
Everyone in our aisle was like slumped over in their chair, and they're like grabbing their head, and they're like breathing heavy because like as soon as like someone wakes up and they look and there's like a thing in the room, and they're like, no, come on, just give them a break, please, just give them a break. But you can see our full review on our YouTube channel, and I think the DJ did a good job of like encapsulating how we both feel about it. So go check that out. But and if you I think if you still are like nervous about scary movies, I think this movie is still worth seeing because John Krasinski wanted to direct it because of being a new parent or just being a parent in general and what the lengths you would go to protect your family in any kind of situation. And that movie really encapsulates that feeling well. Also, I was texting my brother about this movie and he loved it. And he likes to follow filmmakers really closely. And he found an interview from John Krasinski and he said his approach to the aliens coming to Earth, he described it as releasing wolves in a daycare center, which we both laughed at because like that's a perfect example of like, what's the mentality of like all of a sudden if you were like taking care of a daycare full of children and like three wolves, full grown wolves showed up. It's like you wouldn't spend your time trying to think of how did the wolves get here. Yeah. The main goal is to get the kids safe.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit of where they came from.
Yeah.
Get the kids safe and keep them quiet and make sure you can get out of here alive.
Yeah.
Which getting out of here, the doors disappeared on the daycare center.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you just have to try to figure out a way to survive.
Yeah. Do you want to briefly, before we move on, dive into spoilers?
Just for a second.
Maybe give them a window. How long do we
just because I don't think the movie is best when you don't have anything spoiled. Yeah,
agreed.
For it. So, but just for discussion purposes, what did you want to say?
Give us like 5 minutes, guys. If you haven't seen it, give us 5 minutes. Come back in 5 minutes,
and we'll do a ding 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 when you can come back in. Go ahead.
I actually wanted to see what you wanted to say about spoilers. I like the design of the creatures. They're little. And radar plates on their face.
The way that you are able to figure things out about how they work is pretty cool. Also, they are scary fast. They are the fastest thing on the planet. Like, besides cars. Actually, they seem faster than cars.
They seem about as fast as maybe a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can't drive cars in this world because they would hear you.
Also, little boy at the beginning of the movie, he's...
Boy, oh boy!
Yeah, he was just not meant for that world, man. Uh-huh. Like, when Dad says, hey, don't use this thing, it's loud, and then your sister throws you a bone and gives you the rocket ship... Don't grab the batteries, dude.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Because it's not the toy that's the problem. It's the batteries in the toy.
The sound. This kid has had to have seen some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, it's like day 40-something. That town's basically already abandoned. That kid's seen some shit. Come on. He just was too sweet. He's
also
too sweet for that world.
Or at least Dad made the quick decision of don't take it.
Yeah.
But later on, you see that like they snipped the sound from it.
Yeah.
But also, based on all the other toys they have, they're not playing with heavy things. They're playing with like knitted things.
That
if they dropped it, it wouldn't make a sound. So it's like, also, just don't take it. Like, don't do that. And the way they deal with family and also like with losing somebody, especially in the circumstances, what happens to the kid, you try not to blame people, but you either end up blaming yourself or somebody else. Like that, like the guilt goes, or it can go to both.
Even if you don't blame somebody, you still might have trouble trusting them because the reason he doesn't let her downstairs is because of the noise.
Mm-hmm.
He's afraid that she'll make noise, which actually she does. But that's not blaming somebody, but that is there was a breach of trust.
Yeah.
And that's legitimate, especially if you're a parent. Like that's one thing my parents always expressed to me, like, hey, we trust you. And if you ever do something to damage that, it's going to take time to repair.
And also, you know, yeah, I mean? And but comparing it like losing a brother and then losing like the car keys.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Yeah.
But actually, in the comments, Maggie said that you did such a good job with the review, you sold her on seeing it, which is pretty cool. They said, yeah, they're down to go see it. No, you should definitely go see this movie. I did want to mention that I did like the moment where they're able to talk. I like that. Yeah. I like that this movie was able to have a reprieve for just a second that allowed the father and son to actually communicate. Not that sign language is not a way of communicating, but it looks like they're not great at it. Like because they had to learn it so quick.
Yeah.
They had to learn it for their daughter, but also it looks like. You know, if you can talk, you want to talk. And so that you're able to see them kind of relax and actually have a heart-to-heart about, like, how they're feeling. Yeah. And also later on when they're in their room and they're able to talk. But also it's like you couldn't put a heavier door on, like, the secret hideout. It's just a mattress. Are you kidding me? Like, let them, like, put something.
Also, I just desperately wanted somebody to do something with that nail after she steps on it the first time. Do something with it. Cover it up. Do something. I don't know, man.
I mean, maybe it's stuck in her foot still. I don't know. Yeah. No, it's not.
But what was the other thing that...
How do you wash clothes and be quiet? I mean, hanging up is easy. Yeah. You can just do that. But, like, fuck.
Yeah, it is tougher. Once you really try to, like, break it down, like... It's some of the stuff doesn't, like, why did they stay in the creaky ass house? Like, everything in that house is made of wood. Like,
well, they stay. That's why they moved to the barn where it's open and everything's ground level. Yeah. There is an upper level where they do stay, but it's very, they have to do it very calmly, very slowly, which is like, where else would you stay? Like, you'd have to build a cabin that didn't have a floor, and that's where you'd stay.
Yeah.
So there's not like a better answer to it, but they did do like if you lived in a farming community that you're in basically the best scenario for this.
Also, something that people I actually heard when I was leaving the theater, people kind of complaining about, and it was a question of mine too, was like, how did nobody figure out feedback was the weakness? Like it's almost as bad as water in signs. Like, mm-hmm. Wait. How do we not figure that out? However,
signs happens in a day though.
Yeah, that's true. And I actually really enjoy Signs. That's not me throwing shade at the Signs. I actually really enjoy that movie. And this movie does remind me of that. However, my interpretation is that it's not just general feedback, but Dad, the character's name is Lee, stumbled upon in trying to make this thing for his daughter.
It was supposed
like something specific. Like the way he put that together, whenever they hit it with their radar thing, does a specific feedback that messes them up. And it's not just generally feedback.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way he described it for a second was that it was supposed to, that the hearing aids that he was able to find that weren't working, he boosted the signal inside of them. Yeah. So that doesn't mean just anything louder. It's that how specific and concentrated this burst of sound is that's trying to go into her brain.
And it's really gratifying when she uses it to take him out.
Yeah, it's really...
super gratifying.
It's really cool. They did a great job directing, and we've already said that, but go see the movie if you're on the fence about it. It's worth your time and your money.
Spoilers,
I'm going to go see it
done.
Again.
Spoilers done. Spoilers done. It was done. Fun.
Let me do that for 10 more minutes so they know that it's over. But yeah, it's a really good movie. Go see it. But let's get into the show we want to talk about.
Yeah, so we're going to go talk about Legion, but before we dive into that,
let's give a shout out to our friends over at Simple Contacts. It's the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. Now, they were able to set me up with some because your eyes are perfect. They've never been better. Yeah. I'll wait till I get to them. But my contacts, since second grade, I've needed glasses. And in junior high, I was able to get some contacts and it really changed my life. And using Simple Contacts, the way that their platform works has made me feel a lot better about getting checkups. Now, to be clear, Simple Contacts is not a replacement for a regular full eye health exam. That just to be clear.
Yeah.
This will help you, though, reorder your prescription with ease. How easy is it? They have a vision test that is self-guided and takes about 5 minutes. Think of how much time you save compared to making an appointment and getting to the eye doctor, taking time off, etc., etc. And this test is designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists review every single test to make sure your eyes are healthy and you're going to get the right kind of contacts. lights, and they have every brand and all types of lenses, so do not worry. Now, guys, if you did not know, there's a law in the United States that requires anyone who wears contacts to have a new prescription written every year in order to be able to buy lenses, even if your vision hasn't changed for 15 years and you have perfectly healthy eyes. And it could be very expensive, time-consuming, and people get put off. I'm guilty of this, of not always scheduling my eye appointments on time and sometimes wearing my contact lenses for too long. Mm-hmm. That's very unhealthy for you guys. So signing up with Simple Contacts today can help you keep your eyes healthy, and it's going to make you feel better, right?
Yes.
And since summer is right around the corner, you want to have some fresh contacts for going to the beach. You
absolutely
know? You're going to look so cool. You're going to look so cool. Everyone's going to be like, wow, great contacts in those eyes. And you'll be like, thanks. And your confidence is going to soar. And if you're listening right now, just so you know, the vision test only is $20 compared to if you were to make an appointment without insurance, that could cost over $200.
Oof. Yeah.
Oof. But don't worry, guys. We've got a special promotion for you, DJ.
Yeah. If you want $30 off your contacts, you should go to simplecontacts.com/answers and enter our code
answers
at checkout. So to make that as completely crystal clear for you as possible, as crystal clear as if you had Simple Contacts in your eyes.
Brand new contacts.
You can get $30 off your contacts by going to simplecontacts.com/answers and entering our code answers at checkout.
And to be clear, guys, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but this does help you refill your prescription. So check it out today. Good people over at Simple Contacts. They do well by us.
Mm-hmm.
They do good by us. Let's talk about, though, lesion. Because, dear Lord, this is spoiler-free, so we can just have a discussion about...
Yeah, we're going to start... We're going to do this like we normally do with movies, where it's spoiler-free and then spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like... I don't think there's an equivalent to lesion. I don't think there's an equivalent to explain.
There is what Twin Peaks was to small town murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Legion is to superhero movies. That is the closest superhero shows. That is the closest comparison I can find. It's not like a one to one. But that's what the closest thing that this show makes me think of is Twin Peaks.
I've never seen Twin Peaks. Have you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I mean, what did you watch the revival?
I have not had a chance to watch Revival, which actually really bums me out. It sounds
I've heard
like
many good things.
It sounds like Legion is closer to the revival because in the first Twin Peaks, they tried to rein in David Lynch, like he tried to rein himself in. Like it was weird for TV at that time. You know what I mean?
But now they get to be full weird.
Yeah, now it's like, it's just David Lynch. You know what I mean? And that's, I would imagine that, so I imagine that's closer to Legion, because Legion does not ever feel like it's reining itself in.
Nope. Never.
Yeah.
Except for maybe when a character calls the Shadow King calls him the Shadow King.
Yeah.
Besides that, because it feels like it's coming from a comic book and not from Noah Hawley's imagination,
yeah,
then it feels reined in. But that's literally it. Or not reined in. Those are the support structures for the story, and then everything
and
else.
And you need something, man. So this episode, I don't know about you, but for me, it just went right in. There was no previously on Legion.
No.
It just dived right in. You're like, oh no, this is a show I definitely could use a previously on.
But the show does a good this episode does a good job of slowly doling out, like, this is what's happened before, and we'll catch back up.
And it's important to remember that that's kind of like Legion's bit, is just a general sense of confusion or just feeling disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
So just straight diving into whatever the hell is happening, it's like, well, if you wanted me to feel disoriented, good job.
Because Legion, man, Legion season one was a treat.
It was.
Because it requires a lot from the audience, and that's not a bad thing.
Nope.
It, unless you're like nine movies in and all of a sudden they're going to do a callback to like the first movie in a series of movies, that's not even an equivalent. There is not an equivalent to the show. It's just that it deals with mental illness and the way that the mind can work, or the way that the mind just tries to perceive things, and the show tries to trick you, and it expects you to kind of just be up for anything.
Speaking of the show trying to trick you, remind me when we get into spoilers about Delusion. Was that the
Delusion? Yeah,
yeah. Let's, when we go into spoilers, I want to talk to you a little bit about that.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of like Neil Gaiman a little bit, because I've read the first Book of Sandman.
Yeah,
and that deals with dreams a lot. But that one's way more straightforward than what this show is.
It's interesting because you talk about the show trying to trick you with the way it does stuff. There was a point you came in as I was watching the last 10 minutes and something shorted out in my feed and it jumped ahead and there was like a little like feedback on the TV and I assumed it was just part of the show.
No, you were missing. Yeah. I think you missed a few moments of it, but you got the gist. Yeah. You got the gist of what's happening.
But that's the type of show we're talking about here, where it's like, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like I'm assuming the feedback on the TV is It's just part of the show.
The episode, though, season one was some of the most creative filmmaking I've ever seen, especially for TV.
Yeah.
Like, the way they... basically, the way the Shadow King chose to mess with people. That, yeah. Like, it's clearly he's doing it just to make you feel as disoriented as possible so that he is more powerful.
Well, and something from outside of the reality of the show, when you're talking about... Shows talk about mental illness in a lot. You know what I mean? They
especially
die.
Now.
Yeah, especially now.
Or they use it in a heightened sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's a quick way of like creating stakes and suspense or whatever. This feels like the first time where a show really explores the idea in a more mature way. In a way of like, what does that really mean to people that are dealing... And less of a crutch about like... I think it comes up a lot of times because if you were... living in the normal world and you try to explain to somebody that you went to a ancient monastery in the Himalayas and got a glowy power fist to stop people, they would think you're crazy, but they don't really dive into the idea of like what is quote unquote crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What happens when you really can't trust your own mind?
Mm-hmm.
And this show deals with that in, I think, a very honest way, in a very open way, less damning, less like...
In the first episode, actually, season two, there's a perfect example of that. And there's a thing... Mm-hmm. Moving around in the show, and we'll get into spoilers of what that it actually. Yeah, we'll get into that with spoilers.
Yeah.
But there's some camera tricks where like the camera will kind of like pan back and forth, and all of a sudden the thing will be there and it's not there. And I feel like that's a good example. A good, because I do not have schizophrenia or any of those mental illnesses. I'm gonna be as respectful as I can. But usually with that, you hear voices or you see things out of the corner of your eye, and you don't know if they're there or they're not.
Yeah.
And this episode actually deals with that a lot, about delusion of like, what is there and what's not, and when does the brain start throwing away reality to really believe in delusion?
Yeah.
Because like, or which one are you just choosing to accept?
And it's a great thing to do because Legion in the comics, David Hall in the comics, is your typical comic book mental illness case where it's like he has multiple personalities and each one has their own power. And it's just like, it's not tethered to what the real struggles of actually having a mental illness, which is similar to having an illness. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a part of yourself that you can't control. That is a detriment to your day-to-day life. That's just like a normal illness, but in our culture, it's stigmatized differently because it's in the mind. You know what I mean? And this show tackles that in a way. It's almost like I'm a big fan of Moon Knight, and everybody's like, Moon Knight should be the next Netflix show. Unless you're going to tackle the mental illness, you can't even tackle it the same way, but with the same maturity,
uh-huh.
Don't bother.
Noah Hawley would do a really good Moon Knight. He would do it. We were having fun before this episode. We were talking about what other shows would be up his alley.
Yeah,
you had a good suggestion.
Well, the thing I brought up, because as of this recording, Sam's going to be doing, we've been rewatching the MCU films leading up to Avengers Infinity War. Sam's going to do Doctor Strange, which by the time this goes live, he's already done. And it's like, Noah Hawley would do the version of Doctor Strange that I want to see. You know what I mean?
Like, and it would... I don't know if you could do a full movie of it, like a movie that's that most audiences would be on board for, because I don't...
Yeah.
Legion's got a big audience, but I don't think it has like the biggest.
Yeah, it has a good FX audience, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not nothing.
Then we tried to figure out like who would be the worst.
Yeah, who would be the worst? But you just brought up Moon Knight. That's a good suggestion. I said Iron Man would be the furthest from
what this is.
Not that Noah Hawley's
probably the most... Grounded.
Like Spider-Man would be interesting if you did like a whole Mysterio season.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why Spider-Man actually could work depending on who the villain is. Like Mysterio, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Four, you actually probably do a great job with. He was attached to a Doctor Doom thing for
a minute.
He
still is.
Okay.
Yeah, or whatever that means exactly. But that would work too, because Fantastic Four is so Jack Kirby weird 70s like adventure through the multiverse.
Well, speaking of the weird 70s, once again, coming back to Legion, it's very hard to pin down. In some ways, I feel like this is actually its most comic booky element, is what time it takes place in.
Which is great.
Because since a lot of the comics we read were created in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even though they take place in an ever-present, like it's always the present, they have elements that are throwbacks to that. So there's this weird timelessness to them. And this show captures that, where it's like, it feels, it fluctuates from feeling now to 20 years in the future to 20 to 40 years in the past. Like, mm-hmm. it exists in that place, which feels like a comic book.
Yeah.
And where it's just a collection of everything thrown into a pot.
Which is pretty fun. Which is a pretty cool way, and it allows your set designers to have a lot of fun with the fashions in the styles of those eras.
Oh, man. The head of... What is it? Director 3? The... Or what was it?
Uh, th- th- what the fuck? Why can't we remember what it is?
Division 3.
Division 3.
The head of Division
1,
three.
2, and 3.
We didn't rate Quiet Place.
We didn't.
Give it a B+.
I give it an A-.
There you go.
I'll see, that's where we differed with that. But anyways, back to Legion. Yeah, there's the way that they handle the look of the show is really cool. But also, the way that certain scenes play out are more interpretive, literally, with an interpretive dance scene that happens in this episode.
Probably one of my favorite things I've ever seen in a TV show ever.
It's so cool. Also, because the three people it's happening between is Dan Stevens, Aubrey Plaza, and Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
Jermaine Clement, which I found out there's no R in his name, which I made my Google searches really hard.
Listen, man, you should check out the... Whoa! Just blanked on his group. Shit.
Flight of the Conchords?
Flight of the Conchords. Jeez.
Yeah, you blanked hard.
Yeah, I blanked hard on that one. Have you seen Flight of the Conchords?
No.
It's so
but
good.
Danny Boy seems to be a fan of them in the comments.
Thank you, Danny. It's so good.
It's, no.
And he's great in this, and I love the way they utilize Aubrey Plaza. And
she's great.
She's so good.
I love the intro of the show when she's just on, like, they're floating in the middle of the pool.
And it's interesting when you find out who she's playing in that scene, because it's not who I initially thought it was in that specific scene.
Mm-hmm. Because it's confusing.
And it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're not... I feel like people are hearing, like, it sounds like confusing and challenging.
No,
I
it's not.
I don't know if I want to watch this show.
It's very...
It is those things, but watch it.
It's meant to take really big ideas, and they actually boil them down so that you understand it, but at the same time, they want to keep you on your toes, but also show you some of the most complex visuals you'll ever see in a TV show. So it's like, you're not getting your CBS straight, glowy stage set of cameras where it's like locked off. This is what you're getting. They're taking the most creative route to tell a story, and they all, and when I say like it's for people who are willing to pay attention, if you're willing to get a very fulfilling story, watch Legion. But it does require you to not be on your phone, not be checking Twitter when you're watching it. It's like it asks you to pay attention.
And it's interesting, like,
which is not a lot, by the way, to watch a TV show. Like that's you should be paying attention.
I don't. It's one of the best things about this superhero boom that we're in that, like, the detriment is you've got a lot of the same.
Hmm?
You know what I mean? And even though we love it, there's a lot of, like, the Marvel movies, the CW shows, there's a lot of, like, similarity in those veins.
Mm-hmm.
But once it gets to that point, like, was there any ever part of you before the series that were like, yeah, Legion TV show, that's what I want?
I vaguely knew who David Haller was.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't know his name was David Haller. I just knew it was Professor X's son. His name is Legion. That's what I thought. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, and so, but now we have it.
Uh-huh.
And because there's such a glut of those things, the C-listers are able to come out. C-lister, D, Z-lister. Like,
yeah.
David Haller's barely on there
he's got his own like comic run that was important, but it's like as important as like Animal Man. I know you love Animal Man.
I do love Animal Man.
But he's like a Z-lister.
We might get an Animal Man someday because of what's happening now, which would be great.
Oh, it'd be so weird. He'd be perfect for the CW shows to pop up there. You got Vixen, get Animal Man. Easy peasy. You want a beast?
It wouldn't be the Animal Man I love popping up on the CW
shows.
Too
bad. Too bad. You'll get a version of him though. But
I would eat that up.
It would be great. Kidding? But like I said, like it's the same kind of thing where it's like a Z-lister. Got a good run, and now they based like the show off of that. But I did have something I did want to say. Coming back to the episode, this premiere did a good job of like kind of it's jumping into the deep end of what Noah Hawley's trying to do with this show, because you get a lot of crazy set images, but also the introduction of new characters, and some introductions or reintroductions of characters you met in the first episode of the last season. Talking about Half-Burned Face Man, and he had a great scene where he was like,
I love that actor, he's so good. I'm glad that they brought him back in season 2 and he's back here, because he's just really good.
And he's a regular actor, because I didn't know he was still alive until the finale of the second to last episode of last season. But he's got a great scene with David, because David, just to give a sum up of what's happened, is like the end of last season, he disappeared. He was taken in this orb, in this beam, and now he's back, and we don't know what happened in between all of that. So this...
And there's a chunk of time. It's not like...
A year's gone.
For David, and I think this is what the show's kind of going for, is we are watching the show through the perspective of David.
Mm-hmm.
So when David was gone and was back and it felt like nothing happened, we are in that boat. Like, we assume that this is like a lot of finales where it just picks up right where we left off. Nope.
Oh, it's been almost a year.
Yeah.
It's been it's 3 days short of an entire year.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff has changed. And when we get to sit down with this actor, I'll pull up character names in just a second, just so we can, you know, identify people. But this this agent is talking to David, and you get this great exchange where he said he used to, with his grandma, he would watch soap operas, and whenever anyone would have amnesia or have an evil twin, he's like, they'd eat a bite of ice cream. Mm-hmm. And then he gets an ice cream delivered, and he's about to take a bite when David's about to say that he doesn't know what happened, and he's like, he has a great joke where he's like, yeah, I was a fat kid.
Yeah.
but he says something else about how his grandma's not around anymore, but it's a really sweet moment for him where you get to learn more about him, that he's like, yeah, I'm not buying this bullshit, even in a world of like kid soldiers and girls with mustaches and robot voices and a guy wearing a basket. Like, it's if you guys have not watched the premiere, there's a chunk of some of the weirdness, but it makes sense when you get into it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I actually really like that scene
because
it's one of the times where you actually have a character that feels like he knows he's in a comic book. Like, when the guy shows up out of nowhere, don't trust that shit.
Yeah, it's, you know, no, I mean? It's not.
You and it's a great comparison to soap opera because comics are soap operas, mm-hmm. at their core. Like, that's their.
This is a very, very, very well made trippy soap opera. But yeah. Yes, there is some of that relationship. Stuff you got to deal with. Also, I forgot that the season one was treated like chapters, and this is chapter 9. I like that.
Yes,
I really like that.
I cannot find that actor on IMDb.
I got you. It is.
He's buried deep.
Right here, easy peasy. Just gotta pull
easy
it up.
Peasy lemon squeezy.
Uh huh. It's right here.
I also really enjoyed the return of Sid, played by Rachel Keller.
Oh, Hamish Linklater. Hamish Linklater is the name of that actor.
He's really great.
Hamish.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be a Jeremy. I thought it was going to be a John.
It's a return of all the characters you love. We got Sid, who, for a quick reminder, somebody, actually, I think I have the tweet right here. Let me bring that up real quick. Danny2099 at Echo Spider, do you guys fully understand everyone's powers? I'm pretty sure I know what everyone does, but without reference to the comics, I don't know that I fully understand everyone's powers. Thanks, Legion. It's such a beautiful show. So just as a quick rehash for those of you that maybe did watch the premiere or just want to check it out. By the way, if you just want to check out, go watch season one, because you're going to be completely lost if you try to start.
You're going to get treated to some of the coolest storytelling in TV show history.
And you might be like me, where it took me a minute. It's definitely, there was never a question of the quality of the show being made. It was a question of whether I was into it or not. And it took me a while to get into the rhythm of the show. I think episode 4, and I was like, oh shit, no, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, and but like you said, so it's amazing throughout. It's just, can you get on board with
that?
Yeah.
So we've got Dan Stevens, who plays David mm-hmm. Haller, aka Legion, mm-hmm. In the comics. And he, in this show, he's psychic. He's fairly, he is what would traditionally just be a basic bitch. Psychic Jean Grey, Professor X abilities.
And
it's
in
just,
season one, they use that as a way of dealing with, like, he thinks he has schizophrenia, but really he might just be listening to everyone at once, or both.
It might be both, and also he might have a psychic parasite in his brain.
Yes. But also, from there, it's not just psychic. It kind of branches off into he's got a multitude of powers inside of him,
yeah.
like astral projection or teleportation yeah. or...
He's crazy powerful and maybe crazy.
Maybe crazy.
And he is the only one, other than the big bad, who is Shadow King.
Or
spoilers.
Amal Farouk.
Yeah, which we get a brief look at the real Farouk for
we
a second.
Did.
Which is, that was like, oh shit, that's the guy from the comic. Like, that's the guy. Like, they just captured
him. I didn't realize
him.
It until I just looked up IMDb, and I just saw that name, and my brain just exploded.
Yeah, and if you've ever read a comic with Shadow King or watched the 90s X-Men series, the guy, the second you see him in the pilot, it's like, oh, that's him.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. It's perfectly him.
And also, the texture of this show, exactly what he should look like.
Yeah.
You can do all your crazy stuff with Lenny and everything, but that's him.
Yeah. So those two are the only real ones from the comics.
Mm-hmm. But after that, we got Sid,
yeah,
and her power is she's kind of a rogue stand-in a little bit,
yeah.
where with her touch, she can swap bodies with someone
yeah.
or something, which happens in this episode, which
yeah.
is pretty cool and pretty crazy, because it was like, oh man, I forgot how fucking weird this is.
And that's
is.
A great example of, like, taking the conceit, the typical X-Men setup, and using it in different and interesting ways, where she is kind of like Rogan, that she can't touch people. Mm-hmm. But the way her power plays out is different. Mm-hmm. Is different than that.
And also we have Ptolemy Wallace, it was cool to see him back, and he's got great style. Everyone has great style in this.
His played power, by Jeremy Harris.
Yes. What, can you explain his power a little bit?
Because this is the only one that we don't really get an example of
yet
in this season. Mm-hmm. He can go into your memories and like literally exist within the memory
and walk around
and walk around with it, and can interact, although if I remember correctly he chooses not to because that's problematic.
You can change the memory if you mess with it too much. Also, I remember last season there was they went and talked to like a bank teller or someone who was in David's life, and he could like sift through her memory without her knowing, which was interesting as well.
Yeah, he's really cool. We also have Bill Irwin, who plays Carrie Loudermilk,
and also Amber Midthunder, which is
the greatest name ever,
who also plays Carrie Loudermilk.
Yeah, this is my this is when they revealed this power, that was like when the final switch went off. I'm like, no, I'm in.
Yeah,
because she's the badass kick ass thrown to a fight, can take anybody down, and he's like the quiet scientist type, and they exist in the same body.
So basically two Carries were born to two different families at the exact same time. This is the story they tell.
Yeah,
it might be a little bit not that, but basically two individuals were born, both named Carrie Loudermilk, and then one day they both met and realized that they are the same person but different.
They had him,
uh-huh,
and then she showed up later,
uh-huh,
and so they had twins basically, except one exists in the other Carrie's body, the scientist, the dude body, and she only ages whenever she appears outside of the body, so he's significantly older.
Yeah, and which is, to kind of dumb that down, basically it means that two people share the same body. If you watch Flash, it's kind of like Firestorm, but in this it's a lot cooler, and it's not fire powers, it's just that the only mutant part of this is that there are two people in one body.
And Jax only exists when he steps out of Stein's body.
Yes. Oh, dear Lord. And she's a badass. She gets to do all the fun stuff and I love how they explained that Carrie, the guy, has to do like all the poop, all like the eating, all like all the tiresome stuff, while she gets to do all the fun stuff, when it's like, that's not cool.
Jean Smart's so amazing. She's such a good actress. She was in she played the mom. Did she play the I feel like I'm right about that, but now I'm questioning myself.
I'll look it up really quick.
I'm an idiot. Never mind. So Jean Smart is she was in Fargo. She did play the mom of the
She's been in a lot of stuff.
She's amazing in it, but she plays Dr. Melanie Bird. Is she psychic, or does she not have...
Yeah, she is psychic to a... No, she is not. Oliver is. Her husband, played by Jemaine Clement, he is a psychic, and he likes to hang out in the astral plane.
A little too much,
and he got stuck there. Yeah. Or maybe he chose not to leave because he got a little confused.
What a great reveal. I'm sorry if you didn't watch season one with us and you're just finding that out, because I didn't know he was in the show until he showed up.
Mm-hmm. And he has the best intro, I think, from any of the show, because he tells like this weird story and he's not really keeping track. And he's like living in an ice cube. It's so cool.
It's so cool.
Guys, they take the biggest concepts and they actually make them work and show you how they work. It's amazing how they are able to do it. But I did want to say, she's not psychic, but she has a good way of talking to David and all the other people and helping them understand their abilities.
She is the closest we get to a Professor X in this show.
Just minus the powers. Yeah. It's very cool how she works. I think one of the coolest representations of how to control someone's power was she told David to imagine all the voices like it were coming out of a radio in his head, mm-hmm, and go over to the knob and then turn it down.
Yeah.
And like they literally built a giant radio that the actor went over and turned the knob down, and he was able to just concentrate on one voice at a time, which is really cool.
And then finally we get to Aubrey Plaza, who technically plays Lenny Busker. She's listed as playing Lenny Busker.
Mm-hmm. And she does play a Lenny in the first episode and kind of through season one, but you find out that she really is just an extension or a mask,
manifestation of
Farouk or the Shadow King.
Yes.
And for the most part, when we see the Shadow King, it's just going to be
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, which I'm totally fine with. Even though the guy that got to play Farouk, let's get into spoilers. You know, I think we both really dug this episode.
There's at least one thing that I need to talk about. So we're going to dive into spoilers. But before we dive into that, So I'm gonna get real for a second, Sam.
Let's do it. I like when we get to be real.
Yeah. So this is a little more serious because over 25% of new erectile dysfunction cases are guys under 40,
mm-hmm.
which is also a good chunk of our listening audience is mm-hmm. guys under 40. So this might be for you. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men.
Now, guys, sometimes we don't take care of ourselves very well.
What are you talking about?
There's a stigma of guys going to the doctor because we don't like if we have a problem that might be embarrassing. We don't like to sit in a waiting room and let you feel like you're being judged. And
yeah.
We've all been there. But guys, it's the 21st century. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's take care of ourselves.
Let's take care of ourselves.
Thanks to science, ED can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. You can get well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions that help you combat ED. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits, no lines. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. All you have to do is answer a few quick questions and chat with a doctor for a confidential review. Products are shipped directly to your door. Severe ED isn't just an issue for rich old guys sitting around in their bathtubs. It affects men in their 30s and 40s.
So go to 4hims.com/OSA for just $5 a month. You can test this out while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. That's 4hims.com/OSA, forhims.com/OSA.
It's hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. Now back to the show.
But yes, let's move into spoilers. Guys, here's the thing. This show is so big and so crazy, and the ideas are so enormous that even us talking about spoilers do not do the show justice. Even if we're going to reveal something right now, you're not going to see it coming when you watch this show, because I just rewatched the end with you and I totally forgot about what happened. I was processing so much.
Here's the one thing I need to talk about.
Go in.
There is a psychic battle sequence, and typically when we watch these shows or movies, it's you have the actor do weird faces as CG colors shoot out of their head,
which happened in the finale of season one.
Yeah, which briefly, and that was briefly. Like one of the weakest, like, really, when you did that.
It was cool though.
It was cool. This time, the way they depict what I can only describe as one of the most epic psychic battles I've ever seen on a show is as an interpretive dance battle. I need it.
But really quick, it's between Dan Stevens.
Yes.
Jermaine Clement.
Yes.
And Aubrey Plaza. Each have their own teams.
Yeah.
And each of the dancers are so good. All the actors are like, they have great facial expressions. Jermaine Clement's just wearing like a 70s pantsuit kind of thing. And also in season one, they kind of like made it seem like he's been asleep for like a long time.
Yep.
But his fashion is this, but also so is a lot of other people. So you're like, whatever. Yeah. Whatever this means. But his fashion's great. Aubrey Plaza's like got a great look to her as well, because she like can like change between like really put together and then also like looks like she's not keeping it together at the same time. And Dan Stevens, he's got a great look for David Haller.
And it's just such a, like, I will never be able to sit through one of those just normal psychic battles again where they're just giving each other angry looks. It's like, no, give me the psychic dance battle.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, what are you doing?
It's amazing.
And I love the way you take stuff like psychic battles, the astral plane, so abstracts, right? And it's stuff that these genres either have a specific language for doing that's kind of played out, or they don't quite know how to do it because we don't know how do you depict something that's interior like that.
I like,
and this show, it has the perfect way of unpacking that. Like, where does Jermaine Clement stuck in the astral plane? What does that mean? He lives in a giant ice cube. Like, it's
his body's being frozen outside.
Yeah, and it just makes everybody else look lazy.
Mm-hmm. No, like the closest, I guess, have you ever seen Contact with Jodie Foster?
No.
It's a great alien movie. It's my favorite interpretation of an alien reaching out to humans.
Cool.
But there's a moment where Jodie Foster gets to talk to the aliens.
Yeah.
And the way she gets there is crazy trippy. But they're like, we don't know what your brain can handle because we don't know human biology that much. We're glad you're able to figure out what our message meant. So we are going to show you our world through your eyes. So mm-hmm. it looks like Earth, but kind of not. It looks shinier. It looks manufactured the way she looks at it. And she talks to, spoilers for Contact that came out over 20 years ago, so don't get mad at me for this.
Yeah.
But the alien that she speaks to looks like her dad. And it's a very emotional moment because they're like, we want you to be able to understand us the most, so we wanted to show you someone you respect. And that's how it works, and it's really cool. Anyways, that was the closest they got to like taking something that's really abstract and kind of trying to boil it down so we understand it. That's how Legion does it, but they get to have more fun with it. It's like someone who doesn't want to be infected by stuff in the astral plane, they look like a old-timey scuba diver with like the tube and everything. That's how they don't get psychic bugs inside them.
The closest thing I can think of to compare it to is actually, weirdly, Avatar: The Last Airbender, because their abilities, that normally when it's become a pet peeve of mine when somebody's trying to help somebody use their powers, they're like, just think harder or whatever. My brain just went to Stranger Things season 2 where 11 meets, what was it, 8?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, just use your emotions.
Yeah.
And whereas Avatar: The Last Airbender paired those powerful movements with physical martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ways those characters learn to use their abilities, the same way you learn martial arts, you know what I mean? And so it's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it feel more real. Cause whenever somebody's like, use your emotions, it's like, oh, you don't know. The creator of this doesn't know how you're supposed to use these powers.
Yeah.
And so it's just the idea of you're learning. Mm-hmm. It's not actually seeing the character learn. And so with this, that finding, how do you interpret a psychic battle? Season 1, we had silent scary movie fight. You know what I mean?
Because it basically, that was the perfect way of encapsulating, because the actors, or the characters in the show, lost the ability to hear as this was going, and they actually saw the title cards when people were talking.
Like, yeah.
It didn't become a silent film for the viewer, it became a silent film for the people in it.
So instead of...
absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, so instead of saying this, telling us this character's feeling something, we're feeling it with them. We're interpreting how they feel this is going on. And it just works, man. It's just so engaging and fun. And I'm telling you, man, X-Men Dark Phoenix, if she doesn't have a psychic dance battle, it's no good.
Yeah, you missed it. You missed the
opportunity.
Man, this also... So a lot of elements that freaked me out in this episode.
Yeah.
The clattering teeth of people who were affected by this... wherever Oliver is going, which means wherever the Shadow King's going, it's infecting people with a psychic disease.
Great.
That's making them stop moving. They stop eat. They stop... They're still breathing, but their teeth are chattering really fast. Like...
Yeah.
Or maybe it's moving just... But since everyone's doing it off, it sounds like a constant wave of teeth chattering.
And they just have those people, terrifying. They just have those people stored in a room, right?
They don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And also, like, Division 3, where most of our cast is working now, and where we're going to probably, where our main base of operation is, by the way, the real set, the outside set they use of that is the library at CSUN and at Cal State Northridge. And so then they built everything on top of it to make it look, you know, neo-futurist, but also retro at the same time with all the
like
patterns.
The show.
It's amazing. It's so cool. Because of that, we find out that the psychic disease doesn't affect children, so the army that's defending this complex is children.
Also, we meet the head of Division 3, and they call that a mask on the head. There's actually a term for what that is.
Well, he because no one would understand, doesn't know immediately what that is.
Yeah.
So you'd say it's a guy wearing a basket.
Yeah.
Let me get the actor, or let me see if I can actually find what they call the.
I don't remember. I can't remember his name. It was General something or other. And I guess the way he describes himself is he's divided his consciousness and merged it with a machine. So you can't read his mind. Because it's almost like he doesn't exist. Like, his mind almost doesn't exist.
But the pieces of it exist inside these female, male robot bodies. And that's not me being...
No, it's...
Not progressive. It's female bodies, but they're growing mustaches.
The most female body. They've got, like, dancer bodies.
Yes.
Like, they're the most feminine bodies.
And they have female voices.
Yeah, but they have mustaches. But they have female voices in the same way GLaDOS has a female voice.
And the way they speak, it's like a computer, but it's also in sing-songy, like the way GLaDOS speaks as well. And when you hear them talk, it's kind of beautiful, the way they speak, and the way they look is also kind of beautiful, but at the same time you're kind of like,
what's happening,
what am I looking at exactly? And that's cool,
especially when they're talking through magnifying glasses.
Yes, that's amazing. That's so weird, James Bond villainy garbage, whatever that is. It's great. And they're also like hanging around it.
Speaking of James Bond villain, we're introduced back with Sid, where she's holding a cat, and so we think she switched bodies with a cat for a second
because the human Sid does like licking and grooming herself, while the cat turns and looks to Carrie and doesn't speak by moving its mouth, but it sends out its words, her voice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, but it's amazing. And we get David back. He's been gone for a year. We know that he at some point came in contact with Farouk or Oliver or Lenny, whatever.
Yeah.
I came in contact and had a battle in a club, but there's a lot of stuff in between that we don't know. Like, he was in the middle of a forest, it was on top of a building in the middle of a city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show.
And also, we know that he at some point had a conversation with a future Sid, maybe.
Yeah, so...
That could have been the dream happening right then, or that could have been something that happened previously.
So based on the information we're given in this episode, the orb that sucked up David is from the future.
Mm-hmm. From
sent,
Sid.
Yeah, sent from future Sid, who is missing an arm, according to this. However, there is a sequence in this that... gives us a visual metaphor for delusion and how delusion works.
And it's pretty, it's beautiful because there's a little bit of animation that they use, and also they're using in, like a story.
Yeah. Which where, I wonder if the first one's an actual legend and proverb. I wonder if that one other one's an actual story.
Mm-hmm. And the idea is that the proverb abridged is that a monk was able to transfer his consciousness and kind of become a butterfly.
He dreamed himself. He was able to perceive himself as a butterfly.
Yes, yeah. And for the most part, he was or he wasn't. That's the point. Is it's a delusion. And when he came back into his own body, there was a moment of doubt. And when the doubt set in, it's that he didn't know, was he a butterfly first that became a man and now he's back to being a butterfly again, or was he a man that became a butterfly and becoming a human again?
Was he the way they phrase it is, was he a man dreaming that he was a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming that he was a man?
Exactly. And like, so you get, and that's the problem with delusion, is that when you feed into it, it becomes cyclical and becomes toxic. And they actually have these really cool visuals between two eggs hatching, and reality is a real chick, but delusion is this
mutant tar thing.
Tar baby is a racist term that was in that Disney movie, but it's like this tar chick thing with a bunch of legs,
spider legs coming out the back,
and it attacks reality. It tears it apart. And they also have another story there where a guy wakes up where a normal guy trips, and he thinks that because he tripped, the leg that tripped must not belong to him, which is just a thought that came into his head where it's like, must be somebody else mucking around with it. And then it feeds into it that, yes, he can feel the leg, but he doesn't own that leg anymore.
Yeah, basically the idea that this isn't his leg consumes his sense of self to the point where he cuts off his own leg.
Oh, the great is when he's on the bus and he just stabs himself in the leg and it still hurts.
Yeah.
But
maybe not. Maybe it's not. Yeah.
Maybe it's not his leg.
And at first, my issue with that kind of metaphor is that it could come across as victim blaming, that you're choosing to feed the not good chick. Mm-hmm. Except the visual of the person dealing with the chicks is Aubrey Plaza, Lenny/Shadow King. So it's more your toxic self. Like, it's something you don't have control over.
Yeah. No. And is the impression. She's a parasite. She's the embodiment of disease, and it's the disease that's allowing this delusion to live. It's not the person.
Yeah.
It's the disease. And that's a really cool visual once they get to that.
Yeah. So before we see the sequence that gives us future Sid, we see the tar chick climb under David's bed. Mm-hmm. And so then we see future Sid. And
is that
then,
the bed, then, or is that when they're in dreamland where they're doing sex?
They're in dreamland holding each other in bed, and then we see the real reality where there's a divider between them.
Gotcha.
And then tar chick climbs under that bed. Mm. And then when we're coming out of the vision with future Sid, it's from beneath the bed. Mm. Which goes to the question, because what future Sid tells him is that he should help Farouk find his body.
Yes,
because that's what we're trying to do this season.
Because last season we found out that David's dad, Professor X, fought the Shadow King, and
We assume it's Professor X within the in the comics. It's Professor X.
Well, you also saw the wheelchair, it's like basically whoever his dad was is a powerful psychic as well.
Yeah,
and he fought Shadow King and was able to remove Shadow King from his body.
Yeah,
but because of how powerful Shadow King is as a psychic, he was able to basically body hop into another body, and he hopped into David.
Yeah,
and now season two's goal seems to be finding Farouk's body,
because if Farouk can reattach himself with his body, SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, because it was very SpaghettiOs before, and also we found out in this episode that he has been alive for a very long time.
The earliest they go back is 1800s.
Yeah,
so maybe even before that.
So he's very formidable.
Yeah,
and whoever this. Whatever he is
at this point,
yeah. And also, psychic villains are so goddamn scary, because it's like, and also we're like left with this idea that maybe Shadow King still has a hold on David in
some
way,
which is kind of implied with the tar chick, and so there's the impression of like, is that actually future Sid, or is it a delusion? Has David gotten in his mind that he needs to help Farouk do this, and now it's going to take over his common sense?
Mm-hmm. I don't know,
man.
Because future Sid does look weird. It looks like a projection, like the way they light her and the way they show things is like she can't speak, so Farouk doesn't have to fake her voice, which wouldn't be hard, but like there's seeds of doubt.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of this season is when seeds of doubts are sown, like when can you start trusting even yourself?
Yeah.
And this show is doing an amazing job.
Which is kind of true in... I'm sorry, finish your thought.
No, this season's doing a great job of like, it's sowing seeds of doubt. Each character, most characters don't trust David. David doesn't trust himself or other people. He's got his own agenda.
Yeah.
And so that gives, like, that you know, gives validation for everyone not trusting him.
Yeah.
But also, he's going through his own shit, so it's like, there's so many different like branches of this conflict.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they like kind of like clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, the last season was 8 episodes. This is going to be 10, which is pretty cool. And that makes me happy because the show is so good.
Yeah. So, these are important questions to ask, not just for people dealing with mental illness, but just for people, the idea of perception and when you can trust yourself. For example, the other day, my wife was looking for a specific type of charger that I told her I hadn't handled in months. And so it's like, I don't know where that is. I don't know why it's missing, but I didn't handle it. And then this morning, you asked me if you could borrow it again, reminding me that you used it a couple weeks ago and I'd forgotten that I'd let you use it and it was still sitting on my table over here, even though I was convinced in my brain that I hadn't touched it in months.
Mm-hmm.
So perception, even for theoretically mentally healthy people, is slippery.
Also, it's like when you kind of like, this is an idea that I don't fully understand, so I won't go too far into it, but also like a lot of people talk about that
quantum physics.
Well, actually, when it comes to the universe being a simulation, I didn't understand this until someone actually broke it down for me.
Yeah.
The idea is, if we are able to get a powerful enough computer,
yeah,
and we're able to make a simulation of the universe,
yeah,
and we can make by that idea, we could make countless simulations of the universe.
Yeah.
You know, so that you get like a mini multiverse. By that logic, that means there is a very high chance that our universe is also a simulation somewhere else out there. The way that it becomes infinite inside the computer,
yeah,
that ours could also be that.
Or, and then even beyond that, you could go in the idea of what we consider the nature of it, what constitutes a simulation.
Yes.
And, you know what I mean?
Like, it becomes, I don't fully understand.
And then we're also getting to, basically, to under that construct, there is definitely a God.
Yes.
Because somebody had to make the simulation, mm-hmm, whatever that, what we would constitute as a simulation, but on the scale that it is, might be constituted as something else, but functions just like those aliens with Jodie Foster. We're talking about it in terms that we can understand. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but sorry, I did want to bring up also that I don't know a lot about that, but check that out. But also, it comes back to like doubt and perception and like how you look at things. It's just like, if you feed into sometimes those delusions and those the crazier ideas, yeah, that you have, everybody has them every once in a while, that how detrimental they can be to you and the
especially
people around
you. Like when you have like a scratch in your throat and you're like, shit, I got throat cancer.
Yeah.
Even something as simple as that, you know what I mean?
And like, feeding into that or like lashing out at people for like smaller things. Like this could be applied to a lot of different things. And the way Legion goes about showing it to you, you get a very fantastic way of looking at it. But at the same time, deep down, you understand what it's trying to like tell you.
Yeah.
Which... bravo, like, because fuck, that's an immensely difficult thing to say.
Absolutely.
Also, they get to have as fun as they want on this show. They get to make the craziest sets. What, the weird waffle boats in the middle of the cafeteria? You can like, yeah, just gonna need waffles. That's the first thing he asks for when he comes out of his little dream state.
If I'm being honest, I get it.
I'd go for some waffles.
So
I want fucking pancakes. Can we go get breakfast after this?
Yes.
Thank you.
So we're getting close to wrapping up, but just a couple quick questions from our fans. Susanna et not Susanna, confusing. Speaking
like
of perception.
The show. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, I got you.
Here, oh no, somebody
she wrote, do you believe Sid from the future is really Sid?
So do you... We talked about how it could be, could not be, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What
I'm
do you think?
I'm thinking no.
I'm You're thinking it's not.
But if it's not, who sent the beacon then?
I'm thinking... I don't know. The short answer is I actually don't know. But
which is great about this show.
Perhaps it could be the real Sid, but he's getting... The real future Sid, but he's getting the wrong message out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
He's perceiving the information he's being given as wrong. I used the example when we were talking about it, and I don't know if this is the case, but on similar lines, she says, you find Farouk's body, and he takes that as a directive. and maybe it's not meant as one. Maybe it's just information that's being shared. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that, but something along those lines where he's misperceiving, just like the guy tripping with his leg. He tripped, but how he's processing that information is incorrect.
Yes. And also, he could, even like when they say, I'm in the present, a gift, maybe the gift is that he gets to take time out and that you're going to be moving forward to the future.
Yeah.
And yes, the Shadow King, they're gonna be looking, they're gonna find him.
Yeah.
And just remember that I love you. I don't know. Like there's a lot of interpretations of that. Maybe it is more straightforward, or maybe it's just a delusion.
Yep.
Great show though, because like I love the last scene where everyone's dancing and he's like seeing all these people surrounding him, and it's like you're stuck in a bigger web that is far more complicated and you might not be able to get out of it.
Yeah. Last question, Stephen Coronado at @word_boy. What other X-Men characters do you want to see make an appearance in season two? I'd like to see the Morlocks stop by. They would probably fit the tone of the show well.
Quick update. Who are the Morlocks?
Morlocks are the mutants that they can't blend in with humanity, and so they live in the sewers.
Ah.
So they look weird for whatever reason. The typical like Nightcrawler's beasts, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they live underground because normal human society won't accept them.
Gotcha.
A great example actually would be Beak. From Grant Morrison's new X-Men run.
What does Beak look like?
He just looks like a giant human chicken. So it's like he's got that, that's one thing I liked about Grant Morrison's run is that not everybody that gets a mutation, it's not always beneficial.
Like Dupe?
Yeah, you don't
like,
get
what's
like
Dupe.
You don't get like a cool power. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just look like, hey, you know, Angel, like you got bird wings. Beak, you look like a bird.
Uh-huh. You don't get to fly or anything like that. You just look like a bird.
Sorry, dude.
And like, there's some like mutants they show sometimes where like all their skin's transparent, so you see all their organs moving around. You're like,
yep.
And that's all it is. Like that's the whole power. Not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool.
So actually, something I watching this again, it's like maybe because we've been watching Iron Fist recently for another gig. How cool would it be if the show was part of a Netflix universe and he could pop over and you're like, but wait, his aesthetic's so different. That's what makes it great. Like he could just pop in, have his powers, and it looks like the rest of the Defenders crossover. It just looks like New York. And then he goes back to his universe, his show, and you don't even say it's a different universe. It just looks different. And you're like, why? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we just move on.
It's okay that it's different because he's different.
He is different.
But no, season two, I'm so excited. This is going to be a very... Legends Tomorrow and Black Lightning so far. They're ending Legends next week and Black Lightning the following week.
Yeah.
Those have been a treat, and I'm glad that we're going to get another treat starting up right now. It's always good to have dessert constantly. So I'm glad that we get Legion because, goddamn, this show is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know if we've sold it enough on for you guys, but if you want something new, if you want something to kind of like as a refresh of like, this is the kind of shit that creative people like when given the right tools and the right guidance, I think that's important too. They can make something really special for the viewer and for anybody and themselves, I'm guessing. Yeah. It must be very fulfilling to make a show like this.
Do you want to see Legion crossover with The Gifted?
None of it.
Fair enough.
None of that.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But the Netflix crossover is kind of cool. Like, or at least like if Professor X showed up and like you see Patrick Stewart, I think would have a really cool energy
I need it. Just one. Like, give me a 5-minute cameo at the end of an episode and call it a day.
Like,
you know what I mean?
The main story they're leading off in this season is that David's father fought the Shadow King.
Yeah.
And the body's hidden somewhere. Why is it still around? I don't know. Like, why doesn't it die? And
I really want them to pull that off. I think I might even be okay if they cast a different Professor X. I'm worried that they'll try and make it a different psychic character.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just say it's a different powerful psychic. Another character.
Guys, if you're not watching live, one of the lights just flashed somewhere, and that's definitely a psychic.
Yeah, that's definitely something. Psychic. I also wouldn't hate seeing maybe a character like Psylocke, because she has a history with Shadow King, too. Storm actually has a big history with Shadow King, at least in the 90s cartoon.
Danny Boy said, because aren't they both from Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Danny Boy said Hank McCoy, and like I think mainly the visual of like a giant blue ape
guy. That's fun to think about how a show like this would interpret typical X-Men and how it would be so much weirder within the context of this show.
Yeah, when it happened. Yeah. Or people would be so accepting of it so quickly.
Yeah, but they would make us feel weirder about it.
Yeah.
The people in that world would be like, cool, and we'd be like, this is the strangest version of Beast ever.
So cool. But I did like your pitch for Doctor Strange and Noah Hawley working on that. I'm excited for more episodes, and hopefully you guys are too. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of Only Stupid Answers. Make sure you go to onlystupidanswers.com to find all of our social information, like our Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, all that fun stuff. You can find all the places to listen to it. You can even listen to it on the website, which is pretty cool. DJ figured that out. He nailed it.
Thanks, man.
Also, you can find our YouTube channel stuff there, our Patreon, patreon.com/onlystupidanswers there, which is very cool. And guys, sign up for that newsletter so that you can get updates on our live event May 8th, 8 p.m. All of our friends are going to be there. It's going to be a blast.
So exciting.
And make sure you go to chaostheorycomic.com.
Thank you.
For more updates on his comic.
We got
DJs.
So many exciting things coming up. Sam, you can find Sam at Sam Basher for all the fun stuff you do. You do stuff over at New Rockstars and a bunch of other stuff.
And we have actually been working on a project we can't really talk too much about, I'm guessing, just because it'd be confusing.
For other things,
Yeah, but we will let you know what it is so you can check out that content, because it's not only Stupid Answers, but it is Sam and DJ paneling around, having a good time. So keep an eye out for that.
Plenty of stuff coming up. Stay tuned for more, and thank you for joining us this week, and we will catch you next week.
Also, really quick, last thing. Yeah. If you're staying to the end, next Saturday, since when this comes out, we're going to be doing our watch-along for the month. So if you're $10 plus, we'll see you there watching Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yay! Right? Yep.
Cool. All right, we did it.
Yep.
All right, love you guys. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.